want to begin with the theme from the message today is Jesus gives us our rights and freedoms freely. People who come to belief and receive Jesus Christ are given freely rights and freedoms. All right, and I'll explain more of what that means. And then Jesus leads us and asks us, just as Paul is going to do today, to deny our rights and freedoms for the sake of someone else. Okay, now think about that concept. We are Americans. We have rights. We have freedoms. We can understand this language. But what Jesus demonstrates in his life, what he teaches, and what Paul does, all right, is that Paul also will tell us we've been given rights. He has rights. He has freedoms. And yet what he does is he sets them aside for the sake of the gospel and for the sake of another. So let's see what he has to say. Instead of reading the whole chapter today, which you can go back and read if you'd like, I am going to just read one verse, all right, so that hopefully this will stick with you from the center of the chapter. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 19. Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. All right, one more time. Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. So let's explore a little bit. I'm not sure. Something's up with the screen, right? No problem, Dave. You keep going. I'm going to roll. The context, okay? And this is important. If you read the chapter, you'll start to see some of this. But let me summarize it for you. Paul is being judged by some others in the believing community among the Corinthians, particularly as this message is for them. The core issue of judgment has to do with the denial of Paul's rights and freedoms about several issues, and I'll explain them to you. It comes to Paul by way of, I suspect, it's gossip conversation. It's the kind of thing where, you know, people talk about people. Like, none of us are familiar with that, right? Well, for Paul, being the leader, it was happening to him. If you read the chapter, you'll hear it and you'll see it. Ooh, I saw it for a minute. All right? Too much idle conversation. Spreading ideas and notions about Paul and Barnabas that were undermining their ministry. This happens a few different places, okay? Paul plants a church. He's like the father of that church in some way, the spiritual father, and then he leaves for a period of time. Then he hears about all these issues going on, and he has to write a letter, okay? This is part of that. What is it? Well, we can probably determine. It's jealousy. It's envy. It's critique. It's criticism. Whatever you want to call it, it comes. Well, here's the issues that they were gossiping or undermining Paul's ministry with. One was about financial support. Always an interesting question when you think about people in ministry, right? What does that look like? Now, I've become that. Now, I haven't always been that, right? I've been a physical therapist, but then I switched to ministry. And I've always had, for myself, right, a salary, a package, all that kind of stuff. Stuff that everyone is familiar with, no matter what your work is, right? Well, this is what was happening for Paul. People were starting to think, well, should Paul get paid? I'm not preaching this message for any reason, by the way. Okay. What should they get paid? Is it a vocation worthy of a working wage? What does he deserve or worthy of? Do you see how these questions come? And you can understand why they would come. Another thing was very interesting. It was about the right to marry. All right, the right to marry. This is interesting because we know Paul was single, right? I'm not sure about Barnabas and Silas. I didn't do my study well enough for that, but we're focusing on Paul. We know that he was a single man. And what was happening was Peter, for instance, and other disciples were going about, right, to all different churches too, spreading the gospel, planting churches, and they would come with their believing spouse. And that would be part of the package of support and travel and all that kind of stuff. So it had to do with something about the choice of Paul of being single versus being married. There was something there about that issue. And then there's the old one that is already in the background because we've talked about this in earlier chapters. To eat or to drink, right? Those things which had been sacrificed to idols. So if you go to a pagan feast and food is prepared, right, in the name of this pagan idol or whatever, should you eat that meat after the fact or not? And Paul says I have the right and the freedom in Christ to do that. Idols don't have any power. Meat is just meat. That's Paul in his freedom. But Paul is going to say something more about that right and freedom he has. But people are talking about this. You can see this, right? It's like, how come Peter has the right to do this in his Christian walk, and how come I don't? I don't have the freedom for that, right? The conscience. Like, what do you do with those kind of situations where there's discrepancy? How do we love each other well? Paul's going to get to the heart of this. Well, Paul speaks directly to the financial... Oh, here we go. Let's see what happens. Oh, yeah. Though I am free, belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. Those are the issues. He speaks directly to financial support. This is interesting. He gets very practical. He simply says this: does not an ox eat as it plows the field? Do you not feed it as it treads the grain? So while you're working, you're also, right? The ox has what it needs. Very practical. Another one he says is he references the Old Testament law. The tithe that was to come in, right? That all the people were to give, God's people Israel. You could call it a salary, if you will, for the priests, for the Levites who minister for the people. It was an offering, they were offering continually like worship and sacrifices and all kinds of things related to that work for the entire community. And so that tithe, now this is interesting how we think about the tithe today. We have all different ideas. But one of the things the tithe was for was just simply to support the Levites who did not have a sort of wage, right, sort of vocation. It was the way they were provided for. It also was to throw some big parties and feasts in the name of the Lord. That's what the tithe was for. Another thing, he gets practical and he says this: consider yourself, you're a farmer or you're a shepherd or a sheep herder. Let's just say that. Doesn't anyone who sows, raises crops, or shepherds the herds share in the harvest? It's just a simple question. So Paul's point is this: he has the right and the freedom to share in the harvest, to be supported by the community, and those who preach the gospel, which he is one, should receive their living from the gospel. What does he say about being married or single? He says this: when it comes to being married or single or bringing a believing spouse along on ministry visits, why would Paul be singled out as not allowed to marry or to marry and bring a believing spouse? Why is this even an issue? Paul's point is this: he has the right and the freedom to marry and bring a spouse as well, and he has the freedom to not marry. When it comes to eating and drinking food that is offered to idols, he's already spoken about this, right? He has the right and the freedom to eat and drink that which has been offered to idols. So he makes this foundational points as the context of what he's going to talk about. Now, today's message is not really about any one of those things. It's about where Paul goes next. And this is pretty cool because it applies to every one of our lives and our Christian walk, right, in following Jesus. Paul puts a twist on the entire text. And here it is again. Though I am free, and I belong to no one, now, except Christ, right? That's a given, except Christ. And because of Christ, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. Okay. He goes on to say, I have become all things to all people so as to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay, we're building a foundation still. This is going to get real practical for us all. Is Paul talking about compromising? No, he's not. I mean, compromise depends how you define it. But he's not talking about compromising. Certainly not your own faith or your standing with God or your moral integrity. He's not talking about those kind of things. It's not a compromise. He's saying rather, where he's going to lead us, as he says, put the self aside. Okay? It's not about compromising. It's about putting yourself aside. Now, what does he mean by that? The first one is self-discernment. He talks about self-discernment, self-discipline, self-denial, and self just less. Okay? Think about yourself less. So what would self-discernment be? Self-discernment would be when you're encountered with something, right? Some kind of issue that you need to work through. Like you have a freedom and you have a right to something, which we have so much freedom and rights in Christ. So many things in life that a lot of things are indifferent. A lot of it has to do with our attitude, right? Or our motivation. Or it has to do with how we use something in our life. What place does it have in our life? In fact, next week, Paul's going to talk about idolatry. And I'll tell you what, you think idolatry is a thing of the past? Forget it. It is alive and well today. Self-discernment is discerning, okay, I have this right and this freedom, but to exercise it and how I exercise it matters. Is it causing someone else to stumble in their faith? I'm telling you what, Scripture has so much to say about this, especially if you cause a child to stumble, or you cause a teen to stumble. You cause anyone to stumble in their faith and in their walk or in their understanding of God. I mean, it's serious business. Self-discernment. To discern whether this is something. You know, one example I thought of that I thought was interesting, you know, people have different views about alcohol, right? People have different, some people actually have issues with alcohol in the sense that they know they can't have alcohol because of alcoholism or the fact that it'll take over their life or ruin their life. I mean, people know this, right? But then there's sort of the casual alcohol thing where you're like at a party and you know that maybe someone who you're with, that's something they're not going to partake in. And maybe, just maybe, you as their friend should say, not say, but just do, not drink. Because you take your right and your freedom and you set it aside for the sake of someone else. Do you see? It's a good example because there are all kinds of things like that that happen in life. Self-discernment with choices. Remember Paul saying this a couple chapters ago? He's going to repeat it again next week. Is it beneficial? I have the right and the freedom, but is it actually beneficial for me? Self-discernment. Now how about self-discipline? Paul talks about disciplining oneself. So it goes like this. I have the right and the freedom in Christ to do or to say or whatever it may be, but I will not be mastered by anything. This is huge. So you think about things that may be indifferent in your life. It's good to start doing the self-discipline of asking the good questions of, does this actually have too much of a place in my life? Is it actually becoming something that's an obstacle between me and God? Does it take too much of my time? Is it not really related to its worth, right? And having the self-discipline to limit your freedom, to limit your right to do or to say whatever, in order, right, to be self-disciplined where nothing has mastery over you. I think this has a lot to do with the heart. So think about this, what Jesus says. He says it so clearly to us. He says, do not store up treasures on earth, but store them up in heaven. And then he says, right, your eye, he uses the eye as an example, that the things that you engage, the things you look at, the things you say, all the things you do, whatever you want to put in the blank there, nothing is to have mastery over you. You belong to Christ and Christ alone. So when you think about the things that you have freedom and rights to do in Christ, sometimes we need to limit that for the sake of self-discipline in order to follow Jesus well. Now, I'll say something else here. I'm going to bring it up later, but Paul says in this text, he says, run the race. I'm going to talk about this towards the end. The analogy of running and training for running is good. You train to finish. You train to finish well. You train to actually run well during the race, right? You train to win. And what Paul is saying is sometimes if we do not exercise self-discernment or self-discipline over our rights and freedoms, sometimes limiting them, less self, we'll get to that in a minute, then what can happen is we can be disqualified from the race. That's the terms he used. Now, I know right away maybe you think, oh, does that mean I can lose my salvation? That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about running the race of life well. And sometimes when we exercise our freedom and right and we do it for ourselves or for our own selfish personal gain, we disqualify ourselves from the race. Paul says, don't do that. Don't do that. Self-denial. I think this is the key to Paul's teaching. It's an echo of Jesus' core teachings. Self-denial for the good of another is the key to following Jesus. I have the right and the freedom to do whatever for whatever, yet I may deny or put aside my right and freedom for the good of another. Now, these are things Jesus says. He says, if you want to be free, right? You want to be the greatest, then be the servant of all. It's that kind of idea. I can set aside my right and freedom for the sake of another, for the good of another, for the sake of the gospel being proclaimed. Anyone wants to follow me must take up his cross and follow me. You see, it's that idea of self-denial. It's not something we like or think about exercising, but if you think about it, maybe that's the definition of true freedom. To actually have the right and the freedom, but yet not to exercise it. Maybe one is more free than just freely expressing one's freedoms and rights. Perhaps. Paul says in Philippians 2, don't look only to your own interests, but look to the interests of others. The last one I have on there is selfless. I am trying to, Tim Keller wrote a little book on this. I've mentioned it several times. I just think it's the art of self-forgetfulness. It doesn't mean that you lose yourself in the sense of you don't have a self, right? I mean, we're a God-created image of God's self and in Christ, right? We belong to him, worthy, his children. But yet, all right? To lay aside freedoms for the interest of another is thinking of ourself less. So think about the term selflessness. What does selflessness mean? It just simply means thinking of yourself less. You can look to your own interests, but don't look only to your own interests. Look to the interests of the other and see if that doesn't impact, right? Your own interest. So, he says, yeah, be careful. He ends the chapter with a great analogy, which is something, I think it's in a few places in Scripture, but definitely pointedly here at the end of the chapter, where he gives an analogy of running a race. I like this one personally, right? I like the bike. So you think about what you want. Biking, what does it take? Running, what does it take think about your job? Think about whatever it may be, right? How do I reach the finish line, but more than that, to finish, but then to finish well, but then to also walk the journey along the way well, what do you need? Well, you need to train. You need to discipline your body, your mind, your heart. You need to use discernment of what you take in to your body, right? What is it that you engage in preparation, right, in training? You need all of those things in order, Paul says, to finish the race well. And he says that by putting aside your own interests, by self-denying, right, your rights and freedoms for the sake of another or for the sake of the gospel, is how you run this race of life well. Is this upside down? Absolutely. You and I could sit here and make a long list, right? They're probably already popping in our mind how we are not told this kind of stuff. We are not led into this kind of stuff. What we are led into is like my rights, my freedoms. Okay, now don't get me wrong. It doesn't matter if you're Democrat or Republican. Everybody cries that one. Right? We are part of a third way, and it's the way of Christ. It doesn't look like any political party. This is about serving the King of all creation, the Lord of our lives, in a way that is so countercultural. I'm in a period right now, I talk to you with Dion. Dion and I are just discerning some things together, right? About life, about ministry, about all kinds of things. And one thing that's being impressed on me that I read and my mentor gave it to me because I was sharing with him some of the things on my heart. And he said, he gave me an author who talked about the fact that today in our culture, and I'm just going to say America right here in Boulder because this is where we are, that one foundational thing that is coming into view is that we need to be a dynamic witness for Jesus Christ, and it's gonna look countercultural. You and I can define that probably 10 different ways, but I think it's true. This instruction isn't about compromise. You want to know what's so countercultural? We adapt our own rights and freedoms in order for the sake of the gospel to be proclaimed. We put ourselves aside in order to serve Jesus. And people will know it. They'll say, this is crazy what you're doing. Laying down your life for somebody else. What is that? And you point to Jesus and you point to his death and his resurrection. You say, I am his, I belong to him. I mean, the verse fits, right? Though I am free and belong to no one now except Christ, he isn't excluding Christ, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. Okay. Running the race. Context for Paul was this. There was all kinds of talk going on about financial this and that for them. Marry or not marry, eating or drinking, and you know the issue behind that. The real thing that he's getting to is motivation. That we have joy. I'm single, and I set aside my rights and freedoms for the sake of others in the gospel. In fact, he says, now that I know you're talking about this stuff, I don't even want you to pay me so that you say that I'm ministering to you because of that. You know what I mean? Paul's so strong all the time. But it's because he loves the Lord. He wants his life to be completely ingrained and completely sold out for Jesus. So I have some questions. What personal rights and freedoms may we need to surrender to serve and love others well for the sake of the gospel? Now, I think there were some printed copies of this. If they didn't get out this week, every week I'm going to be giving you at the end of the message, I'm going to try this for a while. I'll be gone for a couple weeks, but every week, all right, I'm going to try to give you questions like this to take home so that maybe you can think about them in your personal devotions. Maybe you can talk about them around the dinner table, right? Whatever it might be, maybe you have some quiet time with your spouse. How can we become more adaptable in our relationships to effectively witness to others who may be different than us, believe differently than you? This isn't compromise. It's about setting aside the self, okay? What area of your life do you need greater discernment and discipline, leading to denial to run the race of faith well for the sake of others in the gospel, all right? Similar questions, just a little different. Now, if you're trying to write these down, that's great, but we will send them out to you, or every week we'll try to have them in the back when you leave. Finally, where, how, when can you invest deeper and more fully in self-discernment, self-discipline, self-denial, selflessness in growing your faith and engaging God's mission to win as many as possible? I think that's what the resurrection is all about. Would you pray with me? God, thank you so much for your example, for Jesus, your faithfulness to it. Lord, thank you for Paul as he just seems to wade into all of these challenging, very challenging issues. Lord, we want to know from you today in a whisper or in just bringing something to mind, whether it's now or it's this week, of something that we can act on, that we can live into, that we can lay before you to transform us in some way, to be more selfless. How can we do that? Lord, we trust that you will lead us by your Holy Spirit to do that this week. That, Lord, you will give us not only the wisdom, but you'll give us the power. Lord, you'll give us a community of someone else or others with whom we can walk through these things as well together. And again, Jesus, thank you. We love you, and may you be glorified in our lives today. Amen.